Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
Get In
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
Yeah, at six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome to ENN on this Tuesday evening, quarantine day nine for many people. That's right. That's right. And we give a big shout out to our friends at All American Ford. If you're looking for a new car and you're like, well, I don't want to go out, but I want a new car. Well, perfect. AllAmericanFord.net. You can build the car online. They'll drop the car off in your driveway. So check out our friends at All American Ford, AllAmericanFord.net. And we'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Stop talking over me.
And I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
Hey, Michael, I one time had 40 hot dogs before a game.
That was your impression of Babe Ruth, Don.
I loved it.
I thought it was
I loved it tremendously.
And Michael, you ever had 11 women and 40 hot dogs at the same time?
I think Peter's impression was better.
Thank you. Well, it was inspired by Don's, obviously, you know, so I take it still as a compliment for Don.
We're all doing John Goodman. That's what we're doing.
Well, I mean, there's actual audio of Babe Ruth. You don't need to be doing John Goodman.
But what did he actually sound like?
Hey, Michael, I one time had 40 hot dogs before a game.
Kind of like that.
Really?
Hey, kids, you love baseball? He was actually in Pride of the Yankees. Babe Ruth played himself.
How was he as an actor?
Oh, nailed it. Guy was great at everything.
Well, that's awesome. So he nailed playing himself,
yeah.
I would hope.
Sometimes it's hard.
Not really.
You know, I'm struggling here. My internet appears to be fine, but when I try to go look, RJ, you have any problems with Twitter? I wanted to see how close these scores were because we only have 15 minutes left in voting for Drop Madness. My Twitter won't load.
Really?
I don't know what the deal is. By the way, I'm also seeing breaking news here coming down. The third fight between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder has been postponed.
When was that going to be? In July?
It was July 18th. That was according to promoter Frank Warren at the MGM Grand. And at the time, you know, think about how different it is. Do you remember when we first initially talked about that, Don? We talked about how great July 18th would be because it's like the dead of summer, 2 weeks removed from the baseball, from the MLB All-Star game. Like, it would have had no competition. If we come back to life, July 18th will be as packed a sports day as there's ever been on record.
Could be. There could be a lot of things going on.
Saturday night in July, if things are do what people expect, you could be looking at Major League Baseball, NBA, you know, WNBA, NHL, a golf tournament. There could be so much happening. So
let's hope we see that.
Yeah, that's a problem I hope we all get to have.
And just in case, Peter, I do have Twitter up, so if you
is your Twitter working, Don?
Yeah, I got everything's working.
Can you tell me how close are these matchups right now? Because people are only down 13 minutes left to vote.
All right, the closest ones we have here, because everything else is pretty much a blowout. The Shut Up Jimmy versus Marty McFly. The 12 versus 5. Shut Up Jimmy's up 52-48.
Shut up! Shut up, Jimmy!
I can't believe we're going to say goodbye to Marty.
Listing movies is up 56-44 on me throwing the bottle.
Well, doesn't Andrew have a close one too?
And Andrew,
it was horrifying.
It's horrifying is up 51-49 on Kay and Don interrupting each other.
It was horrifying.
I just want to be clear, guys. As of right now, with less than 13 minutes to go, Marty McFly will be eliminated from this bracket.
And I think it's still up in the air. Redskin Hang Up up 55-45 on Can't Anyone.
No, those are over, Don.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get much
movement. 52-48 so may be over. It may be too hard for Marty McFly to come back.
Yeah.
RJ,
yeah.
Do you have Marty McFly over there? I'm shocked that this would go out.
Hey, Doc, we got to go back and fix the Saints game, Doc.
How? How could it be gone?
So if you've not voted, do it.
12 minutes left. Twitter, TMKSESPN on Twitter. If you're just joining the show and haven't been paying attention to sports today, Noah Syndergaard has a torn UCL in his right elbow and is expected to undergo Tommy John surgery in the near future. He will be out until earliest April 2021. We had Jeff Passan on the show earlier. Here's what he had to say about Noah.
I think this is more a function of how the world has been cut off at this point. Some people's bodies react differently to throwing a ball. Deep down, I think that Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer happen to have incredibly resilient elbows. I think they're freaks. And for a while there, Noah Syndergaard was a freak until he wasn't.
Now, Michael, we went really a deep dive in that interview with Jeff.
Right.
I mean, Peter, we were shocked, right? Because he took exception to you saying that throwing a baseball overhand is an unnatural act.
Which I didn't understand. Every baseball person thinks that. Jim Cott used to say that all the time. If it was normal to do that, you know, our hands wouldn't be by our hips.
But he said we've evolved since then, and it started with way back of us throwing spears hunting for animals, that we've evolved where it's now natural to throw it overhand. What's unnatural is, like Buck said, doing it 100 times every 5 days. That might be the unnatural part of it, but it's no longer acceptable, at least to Jeff, that we've evolved now that we can throw overhand naturally.
And also, it's unnatural to do it 100 times every 5 days and to throw with max velocity. And that's what they're doing. That's what the game's about. Throw as hard as you can for as long as you can.
But that one places Peter. I was not expecting it to go. Jeff is rising. He may be
so. Jeff was talking with somebody on Twitter, and I think the guy said, "Admit it, you don't like Michael Kay." Now he didn't know I'd ever see it. The guy didn't have many followers, and Passan said, "No, I don't like him. I love him."
Right.
Wow.
Gamer.
Why would anybody even think that Jeff would have a problem with you? Well, just because of the when I told him you weren't there for the start of the interview, he kind of said, "Yeah, good," but that he's just playing along.
Like he gets it. He's the best
because he gets it. That's right, Peter.
Where is Jeff Passan right now?
He doesn't like his location to be given out.
Well, no. I don't mean that. I mean in the power rankings.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, Michael. Don't feel bad.
Well, you've got Young, you've got Passan. Young Passan.
Trey.
I think Cashera's in there. You guys don't.
No.
No. honestly.
Jeff Van Gundy's there.
Well, I am now going to say that Passan's number one.
Wow.
By the way, we have a very young, very eager and rising Ariel Helwani.
No, he hasn't been on enough. He's not even a top 10. Stop
it's
it.
Too soon, Peter.
Who else?
But we're seeing.
It?
If you want to scout the future.
No, that's the future. That's the future. But we're forgetting another big one. Who's
you guys?
What about Buster?
Buster only chooses. How
great.
You doing, champ?
He's great, but he's not in the top five. Maybe I'll do this tomorrow, top five guests.
Well, I mean, all time, you know, Landline Collins, which, you know, I'm channeling him today.
Yeah, you are Landline Collins. Also, Robbie Anderson signing a 2-year, $20 million deal, including $12 million in year one, with the Carolina Panthers, according to Adam Schefter. So I guess they were not able to figure it out. We had Dan Orlovsky on the show earlier, and here's him talking about the Jets not re-signing Robbie.
You know, they looked at Robbie Anderson as probably more of a singular version player than what they're looking for on offense, especially at that position, meaning straight line speed guy. Now, at the same time, he averages about 50 catches a year and 15 yards a touch. So I think there's he's an asset. A couple things. I think that Jets fans need to brace for the reality that this is a 24-month run for Joe Douglas. Like, to get back to, okay, are we able to week in and week out truly go win football games? Not like, hey, if we play our A game and the team plays their C-plus game, we got a chance, right? And so, you know, I commend him for trying to rebuild that offensive line and not falling in love with the skill position player. This draft is loaded with really good receivers.
So that's what you're hoping for if you're a Jets fan, is getting one of those receivers in the draft, because it will not be happening with Robbie Anderson. I'm curious how Jets fans feel about it. You want to tweet us, call us, but I am curious about whether he's someone that you're bummed out or that you really feel never fulfilled sort of the hopes that people had for him.
I would think that they're very upset, because who are they going to throw the football to? Because fans live in the now. I don't think they want to accept that maybe it's not as much about 2020 as it is going to be about 2021, especially the way they closed out the season. So I think fans are going to be upset.
But, you know, I'm glad that the Jets didn't buy into that close. I mean, they had an awfully easy schedule. They beat the flotsam and jetsam of the NFL. When they played good teams at the beginning, they couldn't get out of their own way. They buried themselves, and then they played loosey-goosey because, you know, what were they, 1-7, 1-8? 1-7. So nothing could be derived from the final stretch that they had. Because remember, they lost to teams they shouldn't have lost to. Right. They lost to the Bengals. They lost to the Dolphins.
Exactly. And you can't tell me, well, injury, we were banged up. You should be able to beat the Miami Dolphins and the Cincinnati Bengals even at half strength. Now you can say, well, look at what happened with New England at the end of the year with Miami. But when they played the Dolphins, Michael, they lost to two teams that hadn't had a win all season.
Yep.
I mean, you can't do that. And if they win those two games, I don't know, I'd have to take a look at the tiebreakers. Now you're talking about a 9-7 season, and at least you're probably playing a meaningful Week 17 game. So somewhere in the middle lies the answer, and if that's the case, then they're not as close as you think.
Which stinks, because this is the year that, you know, if you believe all of our experts that the, although Lewis Riddick believes that the Patriots will be good, Orlovsky said no way, but most of them say no way. So if you believe that, then they're not going to be bad for a long time, the Patriots. So this is the year that you have a chance. So if you're aiming for 2021, the Patriots could be a different story. They'll be in better cap shape and they'll have better players. But I still think the Patriots are going to be good.
The IOC and Japan have announced that the Tokyo Games officially postponed until 2021. The Olympic flame will stay in Japan. It was also agreed that the Games will keep the name Olympic and Paralympic Games Tokyo 2020, according to the statement. So they're going to call them the 2020 Olympics, but they won't take place until 2021. And now that that's official, Managing Director of USA Basketball Jerry Colangelo and Head Coach Greg Popovich remain committed to the team in 2021. And Colangelo said Tuesday that both men's futures in their roles had been uncertain after the summer. The commitments everyone made for 2020 are still there. We're all in and we're all committed. It's important to deal with the unknowns of this virus. This too shall pass, and we'll be back for everyone's well-being. So we'll still have Pop, and things will be in place for USA Basketball next summer. So awkward moment that I imagine, Michael, you heard about and had to be annoyed about. It's the kind of thing that would drive you nuts. Did you see that Trevor Lawrence, Clemson star quarterback, tried to do something nice and raise money on a GoFundMe page for coronavirus victims?
Yeah, and it proved once again, for the millionth time, that the NCAA is full of D-nozzles.
Yeah, their attempt to raise money, him and his girlfriend, was swiftly shut down by the NCAA because of NCAA rules that forbid using an athlete's name, image, and likeness for crowdfunding.
Yeah, so it doesn't make sense to help people.
So they had raised $2,607 before their efforts were stopped by the NCAA.
So they're just lazy then. They don't want to sit there and figure out context and how things are different now. They just want to just blanketly just go, but this is the rule. Sorry, this is the rule. No exceptions to the rule. Not the fact that it's for charity. Not the fact that it could be amazing to really help people during something that we've never experienced in our lifetimes before. It's just lazy, just following the rule. This is it. Sorry.
Well, remember, this was like 3 or 4 years ago. There was a female athlete that was using a hose behind the gym to wash her car, and she got flagged that, you know, you can't do that. It's an improper benefit. She was using a hose to wash her car.
So
that's what the NCAA dabbles in.
So the NCAA is just, it's black and white. You are going 2 miles over the speed limit, but my wife is pregnant. I'm rushing her to the hospital. Sorry, if we let you go, we're going to have to let everybody go. So sorry, you're going to have to get the ticket. I mean, they're just being lazy. Oh, people will take advantage of it. Well, they won't. If you take each individual case and weigh it differently, you would see that this is not somebody trying to make money off his name and take advantage of a system. He's trying to at least acknowledge the fact that he does have some fame and wants to use that for good.
Well, we mentioned Trevor Lawrence. Let's keep it there. Tua Tagovailoa posted a video of him throwing and working on footwork. And I got to tell you guys, he looked pretty damn good. I mean, listen, it's a kid working out by himself on a practice field. But, you know, considering the nature of his injury, there was something sort of cool about seeing him move really confidently on his feet, side to side, lateral movement, really looked good. So I am very curious to see where things land for Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, it's really crazy. I know no one cares about the Redskins but me, but the Redskins seem to be in the middle of a lot of interesting conversations around quarterback position.
That I got to tell you, we didn't get a chance to talk about it. Cam Newton to Washington doesn't make any sense to me.
Why not?
Well, because it's like what we said. What you're saying is now you're throwing away your draft pick. You're not going to draft Tagovailoa at two. You're not going to go with who you drafted last year. You're blowing it up, and now Cam Newton's your quarterback. That doesn't make any sense because I'm not sure that he's that kind of quarterback for a team that's lousy to begin with. And I don't know if I'm throwing away a chance to improve my quarter with a younger quarterback with a guy I drafted in the first round last year and what could potentially be there at two.
Peter, wondering if you could talk a little Redskin football with me. I've been a
absolutely not. You've been hung up on.
What a bad guy you are!
What a great moment in show history that was.
Well, we'll get to that in a second because we'll in about a minute I'm going to give you the updated scores. But Don, I guess the logic could be for the Redskins, you're not giving up completely on Dwayne Haskins, but he's young and he's barely played any football, and you're going to put him behind Cam Newton. And then,
well, if Cam, but here's the thing, Cam. You're betwixt and between, right? Cam Newton's only 30, so if he's got something left, if it turns out that this foot's fine, and he finds himself, well, then you are throwing him away because then Cam Newton's not going to give up the job anytime soon. And if Cam Newton is shot, is he just going to be okay with then being at the age of 30, you know, working with a young quarterback again? I was surprised that Dan said it. You weren't surprised that Dan said that?
No, only because I've heard about, you know, the relationship with Rivera obviously still being a good one. So,
all right. So did you see this story? I don't know if you guys followed this story. Dave Stewart had traveled to Mexico. He's an agent, the former A's pitcher, and he used to be the GM of the Diamondbacks. And, you know, some people where he happened to be were sick, and then he had a terrible cough, and he had a high temperature. So his wife put him in the car, and she took another car, followed him. She went to the hospital 10 days ago to get a test. So he felt sure that he had it, and he isolated himself for 10 days. It took 10 days for the test to come back, and it was negative. 10 days. What's going on?
I guess it really depends where you are.
Well, that's a case where somebody famous didn't get any advantage.
Well, Charles Barkley didn't either, right? He waited like a week.
Yeah.
But I guess we are sometimes confusing, Michael. Like, I'm seeing that there's an executive with the NYCFC that tested positive.
Right.
Maybe he was tested 3 weeks ago. I don't know. So, like, when we know about it, doesn't necessarily mean that it happened, like, right away. Like, some of these NBA players, I think, got it right away. But, you know, who knows when people were tested. But I really think it depends on where you are. And New York is obviously going to have to wait.
We mentioned it earlier, but Trent Williams could be an option for the Jets, as Trent's agent has said that at this point the Redskins need to release him or trade him. By the way, I don't know. I had a real Michael Kay thought, though. Michael, why do agents really feel like they're in any position to say anything? I mean,
Because they're trying to turn the public and hopefully put pressure on the team, but that's the wrong owner to do it to, because I don't think he cares what people think.
No, although I did see the other day that Dan Snyder is actually one of the owners who's trying to get out and be helpful with coronavirus and use the stadium potentially as a place to be someplace where you could either bring people
set up beds, set up hospital, you know, a makeshift hospital. He's actually trying to get ahead of that, which was shocking to see from Dan Snyder, to do anything smart or thoughtful.
And if you notice what the agent said in the release, and you know this better than we do, that the kid loves Dan Snyder. He used the word loves. So this is not about Dan Snyder. But I don't understand what it's about, because the people that mistreated him aren't there anymore. Dan Snyder moved heaven and earth to get him medical attention, I heard.
The NCAA, by the way, update here, has reached out to Clemson about Trevor Lawrence's fundraiser and told them the NCAA will allow university discretion on charities that support the community during this crisis.
They're so big. So big of them.
Mel Kiper's 2020 mock draft. Number one, Joe Burrow. Number two, Chase Young. To the Giants, they have Isaiah Simmons, outside linebacker, Clemson.
It is a need.
I hope you're happy with that win against the Redskins, Don.
I am. I'll always be.
And to the Jets, Jedrick Willis, offensive tackle, Alabama.
A lot of people on Twitter very unhappy with Don's list today. One guy said, favorite uniforms, we're going to do favorite color tomorrow.
I saw that, too. There was one.
It was.
A lot more.
It was the worst.
Okay, read them. Go ahead.
It was the worst list so far, but I still enjoyed it.
Well, I'm trying to keep it topical because the Rams changed their logo.
Don't you dare even try to keep it topical. You do what moves you, my friend.
Well, I just thought it was interesting, and it's my preference.
You were wrong.
Hey, you know what? Something we can all agree on.
What?
And that is that airing WrestleMania on television, on free television, is a win. The numbers came in, Don, for WrestleMania 30, the encore presentation they showed on Sunday on ESPN.
Right.
840,000 viewers, which is not an astounding number generally. However, it made it the highest-rated program on ESPN all weekend.
I would think that all ratings are going to be high now, right? Because so many people are home. There's no place to go, especially in the major cities like Los Angeles and New York, the two of the biggest television markets in the country. I'm wondering, Michael...
No, but you'd be wrong. If 840 was the number one thing all weekend, that means until WrestleMania was on, people weren't watching ESPN.
Well, because there's nothing to watch.
Right, that's
ESPN,
what I'm saying. So, like, that's what I'm saying. So, like,
right.
It's a very interesting spot to be in because ESPN's such a destination, but I wonder if people in their brain right now think, well, why even bother flipping by if there's no live sports, which is a shame because there's tremendous programming happening every day. I don't know if people are aware. There's still an NFL draft. There's still baseball news. There's still a lot to get on ESPN.
No, absolutely. But I'm not saying that disparagingly. I just think that there's a lot of people like they watch a lot of games or they react to the games right now, and they have other things on their mind too. They're probably watching a lot of news. But I'm kind of wondering, Michael, you're seeing a lot of shows go on hiatus around now. Like, there's season finales. I wonder if they're kicking themselves saying, boy, you know, I wish we had some more shows because they're probably going to get monster ratings now, and they're going to be in reruns. Like, I'm a big fan of Million Little Things, which is on our network. It's a great show. Their season finale's Thursday. They probably would have benefited if their season finale wasn't until a couple of weeks.
They had
more shows.
Didn't they used to have like season finales of all the shows in May? May was like a big sweeps month.
I don't understand why
they would stop in March.
Well, some do. You know, some are going to march forward, but I wonder if some of these shows just are wishing they made five more. They probably would get just these monster ratings now instead of going off in what could be the infancy of us stuck home.
Speaking of monster ratings, I have the results of Drop Madness.
You have them. They're good.
We'll start in the Michael region where the 4 seed advances.
Zach Britton
gets the big win over the 13 seed.
You're not convincing me ever, right. And I'm not convincing you ever, so let's stop.
Fortunately also, the number 5 seed has advanced easily.
Why is your butt hair getting so affected?
That's going to hang around, Michael, for a while.
Over the 12 seed.
I don't think anything could beat Zach Britton.
Tyler Glasnow, who has filthy, filthy stuff. Now, afterward.
The 12 seed is eliminated. The 4 seed moves on in relatively easy fashion in the Peter region. Here's the 4 seed, 64-36 winner.
This is Gil.
Getting the win over.
Ow, 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 ow.
Just make it.
Ow.
And so, here we go. The 5 seed.
First to 12 seed, over 2,000 votes. 51-49, the 12 seed advances.
Wow. Shut up! Shut up, Jimmy!
Getting the win over...
Hey, Doc, we got to go back and fix the Saints game, Doc.
I guess you could throw away that red vest you didn't wear.
I got to say, you know, listen, Don, everything I ever said to you about your drops being about yelling, I want you to know, I never thought that was about you. I thought it was, and I say this with all due respect, I thought it was a testament to how stupid our listeners are. And I want to say...
Oh, my goodness, how dare you?
That's very strong.
And yet again, here we are. How could Marty be going home simply because I yelled, "Shut up, Jimmy"? It's ridiculous.
No, it's awful, and I don't even have to tell you how much I love that drop because you can hear how much I love it during the drop. I'm laughing hysterically because it's tremendous.
It should
come out of that region, and it's out.
It was combining a mix of the Marty McFly drop that I'd already done in years past, and obviously it was related somehow to us talking about a Saints playoff game. So it had so many different things, and I'm just sad for the team, and really good year to go home opening weekend.
And there was a rush because I was following it as you were doing ENN, and it did get to 52-48 to 51-49. So maybe if we did have a couple of more minutes, it might have gotten at least a 50-50 here, but unfortunately.
And in the Don region, the four seed advances.
Gladiator is 34. 35 is Titanic, another overrated movie. From Here to Eternity, 36. Saving Private Ryan, 37.
Sadly, the 13 seed has to go home.
Okay, I agree with you, Michael, because you're the man. That's not how I work at all.
Very underrated.
And a team that I could see, what do I know, obviously, but a team that I could see sticking around into April, the 5 seed has advanced 65-35.
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
A big win over a game 12 seed.
Listening in like six figures, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe four.
Four figures.
I mean, seven.
What?
That's almost... I'm getting bad at math.
Now, this was a classic, Peter.
This was a war. They turned this game. They moved this game to CBS because it was so great in the second half. Andrew has survived as the 4 seed.
It was horrifying.
52-48 over.
See, that's...
All right, let's go to Mark's.
Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
No, you go.
So it was horrifying. Survives. And
I believe that it was horrifying. Could win the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I really do.
I mean, it used in show. It is the best. It is the best drop when it comes to how it's used in show.
So you believe, Michael, that scare it got in the first round, they're going to use that as motivation to get through
Virginia.
The rest of the tournament.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to have to play better.
Realize we can't lose this.
Well, it was horrifying to have to play better. There's more competition. By the way, Michael, we talked about it earlier, the 12 seed with the win here. Michael, this is... A Michael drop that's in the other region. The 12 seed advances.
Peter, wondering if you could talk a little Redskin football with me. I've been a...
Absolutely not. You've been hung up on.
I got to tell you, Don, that might be the Frisky 12 seed. That might be. Really. I could see that battling with It Was Horrifying in the next round.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that's going to be a classic in the next round.
That will do it for the first round of Drop Madness. We'll pick up on Thursday. Right, guys? We take off tomorrow, and we'll return Thursday for this. You want to play tomorrow? Okay, I'm being told the committee's talking. Because of the schedule changes related to coronavirus, we will likely be playing games tomorrow as well. No break.
We never miss a day. Andrew always makes it every day.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.